You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Samuel. Book of 2 Samuel. We thank the Lord for the good singing we've heard tonight. I tell you, we've heard more in song tonight than we'd want to give an account for when we stand before God. Amen. I tell you, you couldn't out-sin the blood of Christ. I'm glad he took care of all my sin. He took care of my past sin. They're gone. He took care of the sins I'm doing right now. They're gone. He took care of the sins I ain't even done yet. They're gone too. You say, preacher, if I believe that, I'd live like I wanted to. Oh no, if you believe that, you'd run from sin like a dog running from scalded water. He ain't got no place to do with your sin when you do it. He's got no account. Only account we've got up there, so he's got to confess it while you're doing it. Oh, his blood went deeper than the stain of sin. We ought to stop right there and take a shout and speak.
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen.
Yes. We have been, since Sunday morning, looking at the little thought of unknown here, but well known over there. We're living in a day and age where I think we'd all be honest, self has overridden us, and we like to be noticed. We like to get some likes on our post. We like somebody to give us some attention. We want to be known here. But certainly I hope that would not overwhelm us and we would forget about what we need to do to be well known over there. Because if you're known here and you're not known over there, oh, it'll be rough on you. It'll be rough on you. To hear him say, I never knew you, that would be horrible. Now, we looked at little Naaman's little maid. She's the unknown connector. She put her hand of spiritual influence on Almighty God and her other hand on a Gentile pagan leper and brought the two of them together, and he was made whiter than snow. Oh, didn't nobody know her. They didn't even give her a name. But Bud, she had lit it up over there. They had a party after what she did. He said they'd be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents of his sin. And then we noticed Joash last night, the unknown keeper of the oil. And we looked at Ananias, the one that touched Paul after the road to Damascus, the unknown follower. Tonight, I am interested in a man. I'll be honest with you. After 50 years of preaching, I hadn't given him a thought. And the preacher and I was over in a meeting in March, and the preacher over there preached on him, and I'd never given him a thought. And it was then that this series was working in my heart. And I didn't even have any notebook paper to take any notes. I wished I could have took some notes from that preacher. I'd have stole everything he said. But I was left to work it out myself. And I was wondering tonight, before I mention his name, when I do mention his name, I want you to go back. Maybe to some of the, I know it's be several sermons, you that have been going to church here, some of you have been going here for 40 years plus. I just want you to think about the many sermons that you've heard about this man. Or maybe think about the times you've discussed him in the car with the kids on the way home from church. And I know there'd be several times that he's come up and family devotions, and you've discussed him and just stood in awe as you talked about him. Here's his name, Obed-Edom. Do you remember those times? Oh, yeah, there ain't been none, has it? Yeah, he was unknown here. But he flat lit it up over there. If you have a Bible there tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to look at him tonight as the unknown man of blessing. The unknown man of blessings. People might not have known Obed-Edom too well. But if anybody would mention him in heaven, so yeah. That's that blessed guy. Everything he touches, God blesses it. Of course, I was immediately interested because I don't know about you. I like to be blessed. Now, if you don't like blessings, give me yours. I'll take them. He was a blessed man. But I was interested in how come he was so blessed. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse number 5. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, and even on harps and palistries and timbrels and on cornets and cymbals. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. They came to Nashon's threshing floor. Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it. The oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error. There he died by the Ark of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. He called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the Ark of the Lord come to me?" David would not remove the Ark of the Lord unto him into the city of that day. But David carried it aside into the house of who? Obed-Edom. Well, who in the world was he? He's a Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord bless. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it for you. He blessed Obed-Edom and all. It wasn't just Obed-Edom getting blessed. Everybody in the house got some. All his household. So we begin to unpack this man tonight. Exactly what led to his blessings. I notice, if you have the text there, his change. Obed-Edom, his name means a servant of Edom, a descendant of Esau, one that sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Obed-Edom was in the cursed, damned race on his way to hell. No hope without God. The little word Gittite, a place in Gath, the hometown of Goliath. So we have a man in a cursed, damned race. Living down in the town of Goliath. The Bible tells us this little word Gittite also means a musical instrument used by the wine pressers. Thought it was interesting that Isaiah said in Isaiah 63, speaking prophetically of the Messiah, "I have trodden the wine press alone." And here, Obed-Edom's name, you would almost think God wrote the Bible. God mentions his name 20 times in the Old Testament. The number 20 is connected with complete redemption because one has been tried in the fire for another. Obed-Edom had a strong connection with the Levite family. And in 1 Chronicles 15, the Bible says that he was made a porter in the temple of God. The little word porter is a doorkeeper. Oh, isn't the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents with the wicked. I'm telling you, he was in the line of the curse, the damned, on his way to hell, living down in a town where Goliath was raised. But the blood went deeper than the stain of sin that he had and made him a doorkeeper down at the house of God. His change. I notice also tonight his calling. The Bible tells us there's been a great tragedy. In verses 6 and 7, Uzzah has touched the ark. God clearly tells us in the Old Testament, don't touch the ark. God said, I'll kill you. And the ark sort of shifted and he touched it. And he died. Now David is in a pickle. What do we do with the ark? It just happened by accident that Uzzah died in the front of the house of a man that has been gloriously changed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's put it at his house. The ark is a picture in the Old Testament of the very presence of a holy God. To have the ark of the covenant is to have the presence of God. His change is calling. But I see in the text his sinner. The ark of the Lord, the Old Testament temple, picture of the very presence of God. God has put it in the sinner of Obed-Edom's house. Now everything is not God revolving around Obed-Edom. No! It's everything about Obed-Edom is revolving around God. It's the center of his house. I can't help but believe if God was the center of Obed-Edom's house, man, he's going to have to stop doing something. And he's going to have to start doing something. You can't have God in the center of your house and not stop doing something. Because there's going to be something about what you do he don't like. I can hear him now telling the kids, I wouldn't act like that in this house. God's in the house. I can hear him telling them kids, shh. He's in the house. Are you listening to me tonight? I was wondering tonight, not being nosy tonight, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. I'm not asking if you've been down the Romans Road, the German Road, or the French Road. And asking if you prayed the sinner's prayer, and asking if you've been dunked in a baptism pool. Hell be full of people that done all of the above. I'm asking you tonight, is God Almighty the center of everything you're doing? And he's not revolving around your little plan. You're revolving around his big plan. He's a sinner. I thought it was interesting in verse number 11 of our text tonight. It says, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom. The word continue, very interesting word. It means to sit down upon, to cause to rest, to remain, to make a dwelling place, to put the feet up, to abide, to make a habitation, to make oneself at home in a place. I was wondering tonight, has God put his feet up at your house? You know, Jesus made a statement over in John 15. He says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, he said, you ask whatever you will and I'll do it. I love that little word abide. It means to make yourself at home in. You know, that's a crazy phrase we use in the South. Biggest lie we'd ever told. People come over to the house and you tell them to make themselves at home. You know good and well you're lying. If I'm going to make myself at home, I want to go all over the house. I want to go in all your dresser drawers, especially them ones you got beside the bed. I want to go in all. I'm going to go in the medicine cabinet, see what you've been taking. Look under the mattresses, under the bed. I won't go down in the basement. Go up in the attic, too. No, really, you just want me to sit right down there in that chair and maybe about a square foot around that chair and don't move. Some of us foolishly think we've invited God into our heart. We've assigned him a little corner and we'll call him if we need him. I tell you, if God's ever come inside of you, be like a bull in a china shop. He'll knock down every door until he possesses the house or you won't live there. I'm asking you again tonight. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it. You probably have to have a doctor's degree in the Bible to get it. Is God the center? Everything is revolving around him. Continue to at the house. I was thinking about this center, not only the continued. I was thinking about the contents of the ark. You know, there's three things in the ark, the book of Hebrews tells us. Now, Obed-Edom had to take that by faith. How come? He ain't touching it. I done seen what happened in the front yard when somebody touched it the other day. Don't touch it, kids. So he has got to take by faith what's in the ark. And so it is with you and I. A lot of times we don't know all the depths of what is in Jesus, but we must take it by faith. What was in there? The golden pot of manna. For the one who makes God the center of his house, everything's revolving around him, his presence that will assure us of the provision of all our needs will be supplied. You listening to me tonight? Also in that Ark of the Covenant with Aaron's rod that budded. Here is a stick. It is not connected to nothing on either end. But yet it is budding flowers all over the stick. To have God as the center of your life and everything revolving around it, his presence will assure you of power for all your trials. But then there were the two tables of the Ten Commandments in that ark. Obed-Edom, he had to take it by faith. He didn't know what was in there. Oh, the one who has placed God as a center, you'll find that God's presence is the assurance of a pattern to follow. I'm not trying to be like Baptists. Oh, God forbid. If that's all I got to do is be like you, walk gracious, go on and let me go. I'll fly away tonight. But oh no, I've got to be like Jesus. I'm going to have him centered up in my life. Everything revolving around him. You say, well, what's the big deal about having him as a center preacher? I got all that time to center him up every day. Everything revolving around him. What in the world am I going to get out of it? Well, let's see what Obed-Edom got out of it. The Bible says in verse number 11, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. I was interested in that little word, blessed, to give unforeseen benefits, acts of adoration, to continually and constantly bend down for the purpose of lifting and helping. Because Obed-Edom had centered him up in his life, God was constantly and continually bending down to help Obed-Edom. He had God's undivided attention. But oh, it's bigger than that. I ran across this word and I said, Surely, I had to go back several times and check it in Strong's Concordance. It says in verse number 12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that, here's the word, pertaineth unto him. The little word pertaineth means to attach to someone. It's similar word to our little word Velcro. It means to attach to someone as a necessary part, like a hand is to your arm, like a foot is to your leg, like a finger is to your hand. Because Obed-Edom had made him the center of his life, God adhesed like Velcro the blessings of God, like a necessary part of Obed-Edom's life. Honey, I'm interested, aren't you? How would you like God to come along tonight and for the rest of your life, nothing but blessings? You listening to me? Well, how in the world can I get in on that? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. It's got to be the center. Everything that pertaineth to him. Couldn't help but think, you know good and well, probably the well had more water in it than it had ever had. Meal barrel had more meal in it, never went empty. Oil in the lamps never went dry. Chickens probably laid more eggs. Cows had more calves. The kids probably made straight A's in school. The family never got sick. Nothing ever broke down. And probably the whole crowd of them died healthily. Done an autopsy on them, said, I don't know why they died. They're completely healthy. They just died. Had to die. They was blessed to death. You listening to me tonight? Well, how in the world did he get to do that? I want to get in on it. Obed-Edom, the unknown man of blessings. But I notice if you've got the Bible there tonight in 1 Chronicles 15, notice his compensation. What in the world? Preacher, suppose I was to get all fuzzy-wuzzy tonight, come down to the altar, and I just decide I'm just going to center God up in my life. Everything's going to revolve around him. It's no more him revolving around me making time for him. No, it's no more that he's going to be the center. Everything's going to revolve around him. What could I get out of that? Well, let's see what Obed-Edom's compensation was. 1 Chronicles 15, verse number 24. The Bible tells us that Obed-Edom was a doorkeeper, latter part of verse 24, for the ark. What? He was a doorkeeper for the ark. That means that he was the man who pulled the veil back for the high priest to go in and offer the blood on the mercy seat. That means that he had a front row seat for the Old Testament Calvary. I can't believe that he didn't come home sometime and tell his wife, honey, I caught a glimpse today of the mercy seat. I saw those two cherubims. And honey, it was just a flicker. It was leaving fast. But when I was opening the curtain for him to come back out, I caught a glimpse of the Shekinah glory of God. It was his lifting on. Well, how in the world did he get to do that? Compensation. God had adhesed to him like Velcro. The blessings of God. You interested in anything like that? Some of you tonight are enjoying blessings. It ain't because you got God to center your life. It's because it rains on the just as well as the unjust. The only reason some of you are getting some blessings because it's fell on somebody else and it's dripped on you a little bit. I want that continual stuff. You listening to me tonight? It's compensation. I notice also in 1 Chronicles 15, in verse number 20, that Obed-Edom played the harp down there in the temple orchestra. It's bigger than that. Look at the last part of verse 21. It says that he was the Shemoneth to excel. I was interested in that little phrase. The glittering orchestra director. This guy that came out of the damned line on his way to hell is now down there directing the orchestra. Wow. Pulling the curtain back to go into the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder what it would have been like to have been the orchestra director and have David for the first time bring you the words to Psalms 23 and you the first one to ever play it and direct it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through a valley of a shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Gabriel's with me. God forbid, thou art with me. Wonder what that'd have been. Well, what in the world? Why did he get to do that? Centered up in his life. I wonder what it was like to have been there when David brought down the words to Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Wouldn't you like to have been the first one to have directed the orchestra to play that psalm? Oh, how would you have liked to have been there when he delivered Psalms 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yes. Obed-Edom know about delighting. Put him in the center. Everything revolving around him. I was thinking again today. I don't think one who experiences the presence of God, the blessings of God, having God as the center of their life, will ever take for granted this house. You just won't do it. This house will become, it's awful deep, I don't know if you can get this or not. It won't be you laying down your schedule with this schedule and see if they match, and if they don't, you just go with your schedule. No. Chunk your schedule.
That's it. Yes, sir.
You listening to me tonight?
Yes.
If you've ever felt the overwhelming presence of God here, you would never haphazardly leave this place. How come? Because you're wondering if he might come by again. I'll tell you, I just don't like that Holly Springs no more. I'm going to look for me another place. I guarantee you've never been overwhelmed with the presence of God here. Because if you've ever been overwhelmed by the presence of God and he's ever let you worship, you ain't leaving here. You don't know how long it's going to be, but you know he's coming by again. Huh? It may be a while before he comes by my pew again, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I see him coming all the time. He'll come by me for long. Sun it up. Ain't revolving around him. His compensation. You've got the Bible there. I close in 1 Chronicles 26. You say, what in the world would I want to do all that sinnering up stuff? What good's it going to do me? His change, his calling, his compensation. Sinner. Can I mention his crown? His crown. 1 Chronicles 26. Bible tells us in verse 4, moreover, sons of Obed-Edom. He happened to have 8 of them. 8 is the number of the new birth, new beginnings. Here's an interesting thing. After they named the 8 sons in verse 4 and 5, for God blessed Edom. Now, God is adhesing himself like Velcro to his boys. How come? You know, I've got 16 grandchildren. I know I look like I ought not to even have kids old enough. If they just have what I have, fifth or sixth generation, there'll be several hundred people come out of me. Do you think I want to live like hell and let God be off-centered in my life and the blessings of God not adhese themselves to them? Be a fool to do that. Fool to do that. Sons are being blessed. Oh, but it's bigger than that. Verse 6, also Shemaiah, his son, were gracious. We talking about his grand youngins now. Wow. He says they ruled throughout the house. They were mighty men of valor. He said in verse number 7, they were strong men. He said in verse number 8, they were able men for strength. It sounds like to me, he's done the Velcro, the blessings of God to his grandchildren. Yes. Well, what in the world did he get to do that for? Yes, sir. Amen. When I was young and stupid, we used to have those, and I know you millennials won't have. Well, I don't know. We've started getting back to this type of record. But we used to have those big records with the little circle in them in the middle. Put that down on the record player. Well, when we'd have a record we didn't particularly like, we'd take and drill a hole, just, not very far, just a minute mark off of that hole. We'd drill a hole through there and put it on the record player. You talking about the awfully sounding mess. If God is off one hair of the center of your life, your whole life is he's got to be centered up in your life. Came across these words recently and it just so cemented Obed-Edom in my heart. The old songwriter said, in and out of situations, tug of war at me all day long. I struggle for answers that I need, but then I come into his presence and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. in the presence of Jehovah God, Almighty Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. It's extremely hard for you to go into the presence of God if He's not centered. If He's all centered, it'd be difficult for you to get in His presence. Through His love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in the hours of distress. Now there is never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet you there. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King, I ask you again tonight, the best I know how, is He dead center? Everything's revolving around Him. Would you have to admit, preacher, I just have to admit tonight, He's off center. There's a lot about my life that is wobbling. I beg you tonight, don't leave this building until you tell Him, I want you to be centered up. I want everything to revolve around you. We're standing, heads are bowed, preachers are coming.
Brother Brian, could I remind you tonight, God is not looking for any us. He does not need you nor me to steady Him. If He wants the ark to fall, it'll fall. If He wants this church to fall, it'll fall. He needs no us to steady Him or what He's doing. But He is looking for some Obed-Edoms that He can bless. I noticed in the text, the anger of the Lord had to be kindled. But He is ready to pour out blessings. His blessings didn't have to be kindled. They were ready to be poured out. You interested in being an Uzzah or an Obed-Edom tonight? Altar's open. You ought to mind the Lord tonight. Brother Brian, sing or lead us.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby.
If you're not interested in the blessings for yourself, you got young'uns that need them. You got grand young'uns that need them. They can get in on it and have it through you if you just become an Obed-Edom.
Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain.
You are hearing the song tonight. He doesn't need us.
for life.
We need him. We need him.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford.
He's interested in pouring out blessings tonight.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
In fact, you'll have to force him to buffet you. You don't have to twist his arm to bless you. He's interested in that tonight. As we sing, you mind the Lord tonight.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Curtis, you come up and lead us in a word of prayer, if you will, tonight.
God, Father, I come to you tonight, Lord. Lord, I truly do, Lord God, would want you center in my life, Lord God. Lord, and there's a lot of times, Lord, that I feel like you are there, but if I'm being truthful, Lord, there's some places in my house that I like to keep private. Lord, there's some things that get me off-centered sometimes. Lord, I don't want that. Lord, it is my true desire tonight, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to be more like Obed-Edom and to put you in the direct center of my life, Lord God. Oh, God, I want the blessings of you to pour out upon me. Stick to me like Velcro, Lord God. God, so that the church, the men that you've put in the house, Lord God, and asked me to mentor, Lord, that it'll flow out on them, Lord, and they will get some of it. Oh, God, I pray tonight, don't let my stinking, rotten, no good for nothing pride and selfishness and rebellion get you out of the center of my life. But, Lord God, let me ease you back, Lord. Now, Lord, I want to thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for your man, Lord God. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for this church. God, I ask you tonight to bless them, pour it out on them, double portion. Lord, make it safe and easy on us on the way home. Thank you for these people, God. But most of all, thank you for changing someone like me, a member of a damned race, on his way to hell with the hammer down, calling me out of my sin and out of darkness, Lord, into your marvelous light. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Now help me get you centered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. sing another verse, Brother Brian.
I need thee every hour.
Can you sing it?
Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a message. As Brother Wade would say, that'll live. But that'll help you live. And it'll live in you. Hallelujah for the preaching of the Word of God tonight. The climax of any service is the preaching of the Word of God. You say, oh no, preacher, praise is. No, praise comes from us. The preaching of the Word comes from Him. You say, oh no, preacher, worship is. What do you think preaching is? It's not we worship and then we preach. No, no, no. Thank God for the faithfulness of God's man to preach the Word of God tonight. Remind you, the offering plates are here. Offering plates are back at the back. We're not passing them. You'd like to get Brother Tom tonight. Every dollar, every dime you give goes right directly straight unto him. Amen. And I'd encourage you to do that. Appreciate you being with us in service tonight. I appreciate visitors being with us. And I know you'll have your church home to be in, or you should be in tomorrow night. That's where you ought to be. It's where you should be. But we appreciate you coming by this way tonight. Appreciate the good singing tonight from the ladies and Sister White. Amen. It's hard to believe tomorrow night's Wednesday night. Amen. But I'm looking forward already. Amen. For what God will say to our hearts and our lives. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, you're interested in blessing the likes of us. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. You shake hands one with another. You see a visitor, tell them you're glad to have them in the Lord's house tonight. Amen.